Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hey, Mark, how are you doing?
Doing well.
Good. We've got a poem this week, which is an interesting one. It deals with what my residents call...
Mike, they're all interesting poems. Come on.
They are all interesting. But this is one that for me, was something that raised some very important questions. And my house staff call these a VSK, or a very sick kid. And the question is, how reliable is the history and physical in determining if a child has, in this particular study, a serious infection? And, you know, we'd all like to think that, you know, our stethoscopes and our little reflex hammers and things are extremely accurate, and that we can identify a very sick kid, a VSK, when they walk in the door. What did researchers in this meta-analysis published in Lancet, what did they find?
Now, VSK is different from an FLK, right?
We don't use FLKs anymore. That's very politically incorrect, yes.
That's what I thought. Therefore, I'm not even going to go there. Yeah, well, this is a group that's been doing a lot of good work on recognizing serious infection in children, and they've done some original data collection. This is a systematic review that they've done. They were looking at, you know, all the usual databases to find studies done in the ambulatory setting that evaluated clinical features of children with a suspected serious infection. So they had, all of the studies had to include a reasonable spectrum of illness severity. So you had really sick kids, you had moderately sick kids, you know, at least, and probably some not so very sick kids, and a good reference standard for defining infection. Now, they had a pretty broad definition of serious infection. They included sepsis or bacteremia, meningitis, pneumonia. I think we'd all agree those are serious. Osteomyelitis, cellulitis, a little less serious. Gastroenteritis with dehydration, maybe a little less serious. Complicated UTI, so upper tract. And then respiratory tract infection that was associated with hypoxia. So quite a mixed bag, but most of them you definitely want to know about if a kid under your care had them. Most of the 30 studies were of fair to poor quality, though, in terms of verification bias and some of the other challenges to validity in diagnostic studies. They did find a total of 30 studies, and they had between 70 and almost 4,000 children in each study, so quite a range there as well. They reviewed the results as likelihood ratios, so it's important to review those real quickly. Basically, a test with a likelihood ratio of 1 doesn't give you any useful information, doesn't increase or decrease the likelihood of disease. A positive likelihood ratio that's 5 or 10 or greater has a pretty big impact on increasing the likelihood of disease. And conversely, if it's 0.1 or below, that has a big impact on decreasing it or ruling out disease. And what they found was that there were four findings that were really independently predictive of serious infection, and they were cyanosis with a likelihood ratio of 3 to 52, that was the range, rapid breathing, ratio 1.3 to 10, poor peripheral perfusion, so that was likelihood ratio about 2.5 to 39, and petechial rash, which was a range from 6 to 84. So, you know, quite a range in these different studies with different populations, somewhat different methodologies, probably different definitions. But these four stood out as being the things to worry about. Now, one of the bigger, better studies also found that parental concern and clinician instinct were really strong red flags. So if the parents are really concerned, pay attention. If your gut tells you, you know, this, you get that bad feeling we've all had, trust it. You know, there's real value there in that clinical experience. And what they found was that none of the findings, if they weren't there, were good enough to rule out a serious infection. And that's probably not too surprising. These were quite different infections, so you wouldn't expect one single finding, if it's normal, to say everything's okay. Clinical decision rules, they looked at the Yale Observation Scale and some others, also varied quite a bit in accuracy. They found some combinations that were particularly worrisome. you know, not surprisingly here, this might shock you, Mike, but a child who has petechiae, nuchal rigidity, and coma has a likelihood ratio of 395. So, you know, that's
right.
I think that, you know, a kid with petechiae and a coma, yeah, I think we can all agree, probably pretty sick, didn't need this study. But the bottom line is that if you see a kid who has some evidence of cyanosis, tachypnea, poor peripheral perfusion, petechial rash, if the parent's worried or if your instinct tells you something's wrong, then pay attention to it.
You know, there's a whole series of articles, many of them in the POMS collection, that deal with this issue of the physical exam and accuracy of different pieces of it. And, you know, I think we'd all have to admit that at least some, and we can argue about how much, but at least some of the physical exam is more ritual than it is scientific and evidence-based. What I like about this particular study is that the four things in terms of objective findings that you mentioned, the cyanosis, the tachypnea, the poor peripheral perfusion, and petechial rash, what's nice about them is that, you know, they're not shades of gray. I mean, you know, cyanosis is cyanosis, and tachypnea is, and you don't need to have a lot of interpretation. And I also am quite impressed that you know, they came up with this idea that parental concern and clinical judgment, because sometimes, again, you can't really measure, but if somebody comes in and you say, this is a sick kid, and you just got to go with those gut instincts.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a challenge. I mean, I think they set themselves up with a pretty difficult task, because these are such different conditions that they're calling serious. I mean, they're all serious, but they're very different. And so it's going to be hard to find, you know, predictors for all of them or a really broad thing. And what you find is that there may be value in a lot of other findings, but that they really have to be taken into the context of a patient and combined with other findings. But these things stand alone as, boy, if one of these is present, take it seriously.
Yeah. You know, the other thing is, as I get older, Mark, I try to justify my age and why they should keep me around this place. And, you know, this is one of those things that I would love to look at the data and see if older physicians were better at this. I mean, I think that one of the things that I've developed, even though I don't know as well the current antibiotic for gram-negative sepsis that everybody's using this week, what I do have is a well-developed sort of visceral sense of when somebody's sick and when they need to have attention. And, you know, the house staff, I think, pay much more attention to the numbers and not the patients.
Hopefully they'll keep us around a little while longer.
A little longer. Anyways, Mark, thanks again for a good poem. We'll talk with you next week.
All right, see you then.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.